Welcome to a Tuesday.
Can I ask you a question? Steve, sometimes in the morning, Steve Cochran throws out a number like he'll go, this is show number 3611. Does he keep track of that in his head?
No.
Does a producer write
people.
That down? They got to be writing that down for him.
Like 12 producers on that show.
Because I was trying to think, this is for this year, for 2019, this is our fifth show, and that took me 20 minutes to figure out.
Sounds like our fifth show of ever.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we have some food trends. Everyone likes to eat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I keep thinking of something Paul Lisnick spoke to us about, the political analyst for WGN-TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
There was, of course, Donald Trump will be speaking to the masses tonight.
Yep.
Because it's an emergency about the wall.
Yes.
And people in the government offices, since the shutdown, Paul Lisnick was telling us they were offered a piece of paper that said they're government employees and during this shutdown their pay is on hiatus.
Yes.
Hopefully it will be reinstated soon so they could show that piece of paper to their landlord.
Right.
Or perhaps utility companies or something. But then Paul said, and I can't stop thinking about it, do they take that piece of paper to the gas station or, Mariano's to say
it will do no good.
I know.
Right. I don't know that it'll do good even with the suggested to a utility company, unless there's a mandate from the government saying if somebody's in the situation, you got to kind of help them out.
I agree with you. You know, I don't know who your mortgage company is, but I can't.
Don't forget, he made his money in real estate. So I wonder what his thought would be if somebody in one of his buildings said, hey, I've been renting from you for the last 6 years. I have got this situation at work. I can't give you money. They haven't paid me. I can't pay you. What would his reaction to that be?
That's an interesting thought, although the more I think about it now, too, there are no government employees that are renting at any of his properties right now because they probably couldn't afford it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
But anyway, eating is like just everybody's a foodie. That term is long gone, though, isn't it?
I still hear it every once in a while. But it's ridiculous because everyone is. We all enjoy it. Most of us, 98% of us, love food.
Yet 50% of us in the studio here hate when people post pictures of lovely food items on their social media.
I don't understand it.
What if you were given
yes
for dessert? What if your wife made this? Okay, let's change it to that. Mm-hmm. It was sherbet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
well said, by the way.
Thank you.
Very nice.
It was sherbet, and it was designed so it looked like a rose petal.
Yeah.
So there were different little pieces of sherbet that she shaved and put together so it looked like a rosebud. You wouldn't take a picture of that and say, oh, my God, look what Terry made.
And show it to everybody I've ever met online?
We haven't met all those people. You'd show it to me.
No, I don't think I would.
I would
tell you about it.
And then I'd say, oh, did you take a picture?
I'd say, no.
You
liar. I didn't
take
a picture. I keep coming into situations now where people, like since the beginning of time, since the dawn of the creation of the planet, when something would happen, somebody would tell somebody about it. They go, hey, what happened to me on Wednesday? And then they would tell you. But now, like, I keep finding myself in situations where people don't speak with words anymore. Whatever story they tell you, they dial it up on their phone and they'll go, look, there it is, a woodchuck in my backyard. And I'll go, yeah, how about that? You could have told me that.
What do you think the origination of hieroglyphs were? That was the original.
Yes. Is that the first texting?
Or pictures on social media.
Oh, I guess.
They would chisel in a picture of their wild boar that they killed. Look at the presentation.
During the Christmas break, I found myself at a gathering of some family and some friends, and I was talking to a guy who, within a 12-minute span, showed me something on his phone 7 different times in 12... He would tell me something about his kid. Oh, hold on. And he'd find a picture of it, and then it was a, like a picture of his kid's dorm room at school. And I'm like, you could have told me that. I would have believed that your kid was had a dorm room. You didn't have to show it to me. It didn't enhance anything. It was just that's now conversation is, I don't have to use words anymore. I took a picture of it. Here's the picture.
It's not we don't have to use words anymore, but he was excited about this thing and wanted to share in his excitement with you.
But 0 for 7 in, like, whatever he told me.
Because you don't care about anybody but your family.
No, that's not true. Even if it was my family, P.S. between you and I, this person was a family member. So that proves it.
Not your immediate family.
Not my immediate family, but in my extended family. Like, no matter what they told me, they had a picture of it, and they showed it to me. I believe, like, if you tell me a story, I believe it. I don't need to see proof.
Bill made fun of me, I believe it was yesterday. You make fun of me every day. Okay, but here's the reason why.
Why?
Bob Ferguson was in here, who's a fine engineer here at WGN.
One of the best.
He was coming in here to flip-flop and fly to get us on the stream, which we're on right now.
Yeah.
And we were talking about albums, and I said, oh, my God, I found this new shelving unit that can hold albums, and it looks pretty cool, too.
Yes.
I said, Pete Zimmerman from the Steve Cochran Show and the Download.
Yes.
Pete has this in his house, and he's got a lot of vinyl, and he said it's really sturdy. And I said, it looks really good, too. So I saved a picture from Pete Zimmerman's Instagram, and I showed Bob Ferguson, and I said, doesn't that look good? And he said, yeah.
Yep.
And he wasn't blowing me off. He was into the conversation.
Right.
And you, Mr. Smarty Pants, said, here's a picture of my key fob.
I showed him my
medicine. Why do you have a picture of your key fob?
Because sometimes my phone just takes pictures. I don't know why it does. I got pictures of stuff. So, I showed him that. And he was just as impressed with that.
That's not true. You think you're funny.
But I don't.
Laugh, clown, laugh.
Like the old days of something happened, I'll tell somebody, are gone. Now you have to have photographic evidence. Everybody shows you. Look.
It's like show and tell.
There really is a crack in my sidewalk. Well, you could have told me there was. I would have believed you. Everybody has pictures of it now. And it's never readily. They have to like flip through.
Yeah, that's true.
Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Hold on. They're flipping through.
Right, your train has come and gone, and they're like, wait, catch the next one.
I'll tell you what. I'll show you the picture of it.
All right, I'll give you that.
All right.
Listeners, if you ever run into Bill anywhere, show him every picture in your phone, please. We were talking about what's hot and what's cold
with food.
Yeah, there are trends to look out for in 2019, and some of these are surprising to me. And
please tell me quinoa is still hot.
No.
Oh,
do you
missed
like
it?
It?
No.
I like it.
Not only do I not like it, but I know that at some point in my life, I'll be in a spelling bee, and that'll be the word that knocks me out of the spelling bee.
Q-U-I-N-O-A?
Maybe. I don't know.
I have a picture of it on my phone.
Can I see? Wait, I have a picture of me in a spelling bee. Hold on, from fourth grade. Hold on.
The mighty mushroom, one of the top food trends for 2019. Am I missing something? But haven't mushrooms always?
They've been popular since olden days.
Nutrient-packed mushrooms are bursting with flavor, and they make the perfect main side dish or appetizer for any dinner. They're springing up everywhere, from inside coffee drinks to chocolate bars.
Mushroom coffee?
According to Pinterest, a list of the top food trends for 2019, the fungi-focused recipes were up 64%.
Oh, I wonder what happened there. It's that R. Kelly documentary.
I remember when Porter...
Original Six. I'm just going to say things that don't make any sense, just to see what happens. I love, you know, one of my daughters said to me a couple of weeks ago, she goes, because I love mushrooms, and she goes, that is so not like you. She goes,
I agree, most people don't like the mushrooms.
Right.
And you're kind of picky, like if a tomato's on a sandwich.
I don't want it.
No.
But I love them, so much so that sometimes, like in the store, I'll have a taste for a certain type of, you know, there's like 160 different kinds of mushrooms, and some grocery stores have them separated. And I'll go, let's go with those. Or
holy
those.
Shiitake.
Holy shiitake. Shiitake happens.
Yeah, you've pushed it.
That was dangerous.
You went a little
right
too
on the
far.
Dangerous edge there.
My favorite, the portabella.
Those are always good.
And
how about a good criminy?
I've never had that.
Oh, Wendy.
Criminy.
Treat yourself.
What does it do?
It's just the different flavor. I mean, the texture is a little bit different. Every mushroom, the texture is just a little bit different. The flavor is just a little bit different. Some are better on pizzas. Some are better on salads. Some are just fun for snacking.
I like the portobello because they're very dense.
So good.
And honestly, grilling them.
Oh, are those good?
I have a recipe that I just kind of came up with. I know people have done it, but I kind of created my own thing with breadcrumbs and garlic and Italian sausage in the baby bells.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Just the best
That's
thing
good
ever.
Stuff. Sometimes, like if you go to the Cheesecake Factory, go to page 182, you can get it's a mushroom sandwich, a portobello mushroom sandwich.
Like, yeah, instead of a burger.
Portobello mushrooms.
That would be good.
Right in the middle of page 182, you'll find it. It's so good.
Now I have to get Chinese food tonight and get, they have a mushroom supreme, which has like
delicious.
Four different kinds of mushrooms.
Oh, what time is dinner?
About 8:30.
All right. Will you send me a picture of it?
You know, I'm going to tonight just to be a jerk.
I want to see those mushrooms.
Another food trend that's really hot in 2019, a worldly breakfasts. According to the National Restaurant Association, on their annual What's Hot survey, a barometer of food and beverage trends in restaurants around the country, worldly breakfast dishes are expected to be exceptionally popular in 2019. Would you like to know what they are?
Does this infer a breakfast that would be a standard breakfast in other parts of the world?
Yes.
Or a breakfast that combines breakfast foods from all over the globe? What
You're
does that mean?
You're a foodie. Congratulations.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
You've made the cut.
Yeah.
More than 69% of respondents said globally inspired breakfast items would be the year's top food trend.
Like a croissant?
Shakshuka, a Tunisian-Israeli dish made of poached eggs, tomato sauce, onions, chili peppers, and spices is one of those such meals.
Does that appeal to you?
Yeah.
That's too spicy for me.
I'll
just have a Pop-Tart and call it a morning. A shakshuka Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I don't know. Shakshuka.
Shakshuka.
I just love a good breakfast skillet.
Yeah.
That's like one of the best things ever invented.
Yeah, that could be pretty good, right?
And I like the hash browns that are like they've been made in a cheese shredder
instead
of cubes.
That's
I like
good.
The shredded hash browns
yeah,
the best.
Yeah, that's delicious. So would you be somewhere and ask for that, a world breakfast? How would you word it to
Depends
let them
where
know?
You go. International House.
They would know.
Of pancakes should have
it. It's from all over the place. Because I'm sure you've been in a situation where at a hotel they have what they call a continental breakfast, which sounds like I'm going to be getting food from every part of the world. This is going to be good.
It's a waffle machine.
Yeah.
Maybe a little buffet warmer of pre-scrambled eggs that are pretty runny and
what
gross.
What is continental about that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And little cereal boxes sometimes.
Right. Mm.
And maybe some a
Apple
bagel.
Jacks.
Oh, I know it's continental. Sometimes they put like a cheese plate out there and fruit.
Does that make it continental?
No, sir, just, sure doesn't.
They're overselling it.
Infusions are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking blood infusions.
Oh, then I was wrong.
A lot of people in the last 5 to 6 years, I've noticed people infusing things into vodka.
Yeah.
Like they will.
Various fruit flavors.
Yes.
Right.
And you know what? I like my vodka flavored.
Regular.
Yeah. But now people are infusing like ginger water is an infusion.
I've seen that.
CBD, which is the.
CBD, baby. CBD.
It is the non-hallucinogenic part of. Marijuana.
Right.
They're putting that in water. Maple water is.
I've seen that. Cucumber water, I've seen.
Yeah. I just like the lemon water. That's the best.
What about
to
bacon
me.
Water?
Someone would enjoy that.
Why don't they have bacon water? That would be delicious.
I'm not really sure.
Couldn't keep that in stock.
And sea vegetables, they've been popular for a while, but seaweed, and then there are other things, but.
Kelp.
Yeah. Help, I'm drowning, said SpongeBob.
There's a Thai restaurant I go to that has lime chicken, and the lime chicken, so it's little pieces of chicken with like a lime sauce, like a key lime sauce, but it is served over a bed of kelp, and normally you'd go, I don't need the seaweed, thank you, but it really does enhance the flavor. It's really pretty good that way.
There's a professor in Wales that said seaweed consumption has been growing by 7% annually in the United States.
That's a big number.
It's pretty much.
What happened? Why the turnaround? Because of SpongeBob.
Sushi got more popular, and isn't it involved in a lot of sushi and Japanese items?
That's probably right.
All right, so we're talking about some food trends. The last one I'm going to mention is sourdough bread. I went to a neighbor's house, Mindy, and she said, would you like some fresh bread? And I said, no, why would I want? I mean, I guess,
Down fresh bread?
Well, I didn't turn it down, but I guess I was questioning why she was offering me fresh bread. It was weird. And so she handed me two round loaves of sourdough bread that were warm out of the oven.
Yeah.
They didn't make it home.
Oh,
I ate one in the car.
So good.
And I said, what's with the fresh bread? Now you're making it, you know, you're setting the bar so high. When people come to my house, they're going to expect fresh bread.
Sure.
And she said, someone in the neighborhood started this sourdough.
The starter?
Yes. And now we've been passing it around from house to house. And I said, what is it? And she said, it's just,
it's the germ of bread that has already been produced.
Yeah. And you just keep feeding it. Right. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like the blob? And she said, pretty much.
Yes.
You just add flour in it and, I think some oil or something, and you let it ferment basically. Yeah. And as it grows, you cook it. And I failed to ask her to be part of that sourdough world, but now I want a starter. Where do I get it?
Well, somebody gives you a starter, but it's kind of a pain to, you got to nurse it and take care of it and add. And
I have a nursing bra.
Oh,
I've
too?
Saved it from
there
when I
go.
Had
you could use that
for your starter.
You said you had two loaves, right? So that's just, the numbers are right on.
Those aren't loaves.
Oh, sorry.
Can you make a starter kit?
There is a way you make a starter, but the starters are better, like if they're, the older the starter is, the better it is.
How many years does this go on?
Well, there's stories like
forever.
Hundreds of years. Like there
you
are restaurants that they boast the fact that their sourdough bread has been
like going for years.
For hundreds of, really. And on the East Coast in New England when you
but
go
it's
there.
Not as easy as it sounds. Like you have to babysit this thing a little bit.
Don't you just put flour in it?
No.
There's other stuff you have to do. I tried it once and I failed.
Too much work?
How long did you keep it?
I never did it because I forgot to feed it and then I didn't, you know, I didn't do it and
Because I really, and sourdough bread, this is really weird, but I know that everybody says carbs are the devil. There are certain carbs that, you know, bread for the bottom line isn't probably good. You're supposed to have your carbohydrates and vegetables.
Sure.
But if you're doing Weight Watchers or other programs, sourdough bread has less calories than enriched white flour. Yeah, because
I love sourdough bread.
Me
because
too.
Of the acidity and the thing that's in there, it's not like just white processed flour, although I think that's what you add to
it. Yeah, there's no whole wheat or anything in there. I mean, unless there's such thing as a whole wheat sourdough, but as far as I know, it's white flour.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like a starter kit. I don't know where to get it.
Well, you need to get it from your friend. She'll give it to you.
Have her come on as a guest and bring some bread up.
Let's do an experiment.
I love that.
She was my kid's religious ed CCD teacher, and I dropped off a project because Dylan couldn't make it to class.
Yeah.
So I dropped that off, and she sends me home with two loaves, warm loaves of sourdough.
So good.
Yesterday, I had to do some grocery shopping, and I'm sure you've both been in a situation where you know how much money you have, and you look down at the groceries you've bought, and you go, I'm cutting it pretty close. And then down the aisle, they had a 2-for-1 on sourdough English muffins, and it looked so good. And I'm like, what do I put back? I ended up not getting the sourdough English muffins.
Next week.
But I'm still regretting it. I've got to go back now. I think the sale ends Friday, I think. Oh. So I got to go back in the next few days.
Did they have nooks and crannies?
Yeah, there were nooks and
crannies.
They
make sourdough?
That's Thomas's.
Yeah,
who does nooks and crannies.
Thomas's.
This
English
was a
muffins.
Company called Nancy's, I think. I've never used them. I've never had their products. But just the 2-for-1. It's
I've
like
never utilized their services.
You eat them for
breakfast? You know, with English muffins, there is no rhyme or reason. It's just every once in a while you go, we've got English muffins. I just put one in and heat it up and eat it.
You know how they're really good? Because there's a place in Louisville that serves their burgers on an English muffin.
Oh, I've had that.
It's
not
really
in Louisville,
good.
But I've had it in a few places.
It's really good.
Oh, that does sound
I like
good.
An egg on it. Egg and ham and cheese.
Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. All right,
let's do this. We'll
I'm
take a break.
Now.
Kim will give us the news.
I'm going to nibble
no
on Kim's
food stories
foot.
In the news, Kim. No food stories, please.
I'm checking.
Make
no,
sure there aren't any. All right, more of this coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Kim.
Are you saying I'm a windbag?
I didn't say that out
no,
loud.
No, you're Wendy. Windy.
Oh,
Wendy,
yeah.
Wendy.
I was just thinking, Ed Farmer and DJ do a commercial talking about Windy City Limos.
Yes.
And it almost sounds like Ed Farmer is saying Wendy.
I think he is.
When I grew up, I had this neighbor. He was an older man,
yeah.
And he called me Wendy, the White Tornado.
Oh.
And I said, I don't know if I like that. You know,
he meant it in good terms, though, right?
Well, he said that, you know, Wendy because I talked too much, and the White Tornado because I was always moving around so quickly.
Were you a whirling dervish?
Evidently, I was.
Were you? Yeah. Huh.
I need to get that whirling dervi going again.
Yes.
There you go.
But yeah,
a little Tasmanian devil in you.
The White Tornado, he used to call me a lot.
So when you were called that as a child, did you grimace? Did you like, oh, don't say that? Or were you happy with it? How did you feel?
I didn't feel happy, but I was puzzled.
Yeah.
Like, right now I'm looking like I don't really understand.
I wonder what his intent was.
But he said you moved around so quickly like that Ajax White Tornado really quick.
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Kratz, I'll never forget him
for
calling me.
Jasmine,
that.
See if Mr. Kratz can come on.
He's
with us.
No longer with us.
Oh, don't call the Kratz house. It's still a sad memory.
We were talking about food trends. I want to. Bill's a foodie. Kim, I don't know if you're a foodie.
I am.
You are.
Yes.
Do you know what?
In my mind, I am.
Celtis is.
Celtis.
I do not
it's
know.
A stupid
what
name.
Is.
How do you spell that?
C E L T U C E.
Is it part celery?
It
and
is?
Salt.
What would the tis be? I don't know what.
Celtis.
Tissue? Is it celery scented tissue?
Lettuce.
No, that's not it.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Celery leaves?
It is this. It's Celtis. It's a lettuce cultivar. It's been dubbed the new kale, which I know Dave Ennett eats a lot of kale.
Yeah.
You've had it, right?
Kale. Yeah, I like it.
I don't like
it.
It
is so bitter.
Yeah.
You have to do it right.
How?
Well, the thing is,
Osco syrup.
I think the key is massaging whatever dressing you use into your kale, like, and letting it sit for a little while, and then
does it break down the bitterness?
It does kind of break it down, and it seeps into the lettuce, so it's not so, you know, it. I don't want to say it makes it soggy because it's still not soggy, but it kind of. Better way to say it's just sort of like relaxes the leaves is the only way I can describe it. It just makes it not so rigid.
But you're still getting that flavor.
Yes,
right?
Yes. I mean,
it's
kale, the flavor is there. But you know, if you don't like kale, have you bought the baby kale? Because it's way less bitter. And I buy it a lot in salad mixes, and there's baby kale in there. And sometimes I'll even use baby kale instead of baby spinach because it's similar but has just a little bit of a different
All right, I will try that because I try to put I love salads. I could make salads every
Me
day
too.
And eat salads. And you put some protein in it or whatever, and all I really like is balsamic vinegar and olive oil. That's what I always use.
Mm-hmm.
So fairly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried
but you're
to
on
use
the Green Goddess bandwagon, as you said.
Just when I go to Panera. That's the only time I have it. But the kale is so unbelievably bitter that, I mean, it kind of ruins the rest of the salad.
Try the baby kale.
I'll try that.
Less bitter.
Is it still good for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume.
Well, this is, it's the new kale. It is kind of like there's a leafy bitter top and a celery-like stalk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Chinese lettuce. That's what they're calling it. Celtis, kind of celery because it's in stalks, but
right.
It's lettuce as well.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to be all the rage this year. I never heard of it.
I haven't either. Wow.
You know what's strange? For me, like I can't stand the taste of celery and the flavor, even though people say it's subtle. If there's celery in something, even the smallest trace amount of it,
it's very distinct.
Yeah, I can tell in a minute.
It's funny because I like raw celery, but I don't like it cooked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't like it in any way, shape, or form.
I pick it out of like chicken noodles. So
yeah.
You pick it right out.
Yeah.
But if it's raw with dip or something,
then
I love
you're all right?
it. Yeah.
Mm.
I don't love it.
I like the crunchiness of it.
I like the crunchiness of it. But I mean,
that's
taste-wise,
one of those foods people always go, well, it's all you're getting there is water. It's it's just water. But water tastes
funky water.
Great yeah, that's right.
Crispy water.
Yeah, I don't want my water to be crispy.
Jicama is kind of like that too.
I don't know. I like that a lot.
I don't like that. Do you like fennel?
No, it tastes like licorice to me. I can't stand it.
That's a big Italian dish, and I was at our cousin's Christmas, and all the antipastas there, and they put it's fennel. My grandmother used to bread it and fry it, and for some reason I liked it better when I was a kid because you fry anything in breadcrumbs,
sure.
It's really good. But just raw fennel, it was like, why do I like this?
Yeah.
It's like tastes like anise, kind of.
Anything licorice-y like that, I don't like.
All right.
You know tamales in Highland Park, Kim? You've been there. All right. So as an appetizer, Jeff will just give you a giant plate of jicama.
Oh.
No. And it's
with the guacamole.
Yeah. If you want it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. But yeah, it's really good that way. Really nice and crisp and crunchy. Yeah.
I love putting jicama in salads.
Mm, delicious.
What does it taste like?
Jicama?
People
I'm sure I've had it.
Radishes, but I don't like
radishes.
Well,
no, it's not as bitter as a radish.
But it's consistency.
Similar, yeah.
Right?
And it's similar to me. It's similar. Well, it's got more water in it than a radish.
Yeah.
I just go home. Get the radishes that you get at any of your produce departments that still has the green on them.
Yeah.
Wash them. I could sit there and eat 50 radishes with a little bit of, maybe salt. Not 50,
like
but a little
cool
salt.
Luke of radishes.
I love them.
My husband's the same way. He loves them. He loves white radishes, too. Have you ever had the white radishes that are long?
No. Are they more bitter?
They're less bitter.
Because I love horseradish, too.
Do you?
That's like the best thing. Yeah. We're talking about food trends making everybody else hungry. And there is an announcement that we have to make, something we were talking about on the regular show.
Mm-hmm.
Sears, it has come through that Sears has reached an 11th hour deal to stay in business.
Oh, wow.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Yes.
We thought it was going to, like they were preparing to liquidate.
To liquidate. Looked like it.
We talked. You brought them good luck because you brought it up today. Like Sears was the end all to everything. Whatever you needed, whether it was a barber chair, or some Slim Jims,
you could find it at Sears.
A couple weeks ago, remember we're talking about the catalog,
right?
Yeah,
right,
circling the toys and all that good stuff.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. That's very good news.
Thanks, Jasmine. This just in, Sears reaches 11th hour deal to stay in business.
So I wonder how that came to be. I don't know. I'm sure we can read up on it later on.
We don't know what the deal is or what's...
But I hope that's good news for them.
Well, stay tuned to upcoming news and you'll find out more.
That's
you don't have
news.
To go anywhere else. Another food trend that's popular for 2019... Thanks for filling in, both of you. You saw me coughing and
waiting.
You just looked at me.
I thought that was like the pie like pause.
Yeah.
In honor of Judy.
So nice.
Orange wine. Have you heard of this? It's made from the same grapes as white wine.
So it's not, it's orange in color, but it's not, they don't, they're
not from oranges.
Oranges.
Oh, okay. Right. The difference in hue is from letting the juices of the fruit ferment with the skins and seeds.
Why would you want that?
So is it a white or a red?
It's orange.
No, but I mean, is it from
white grapes, the same grapes as white wine.
Okay.
The vibrant libation is poised to gain traction in 2019. It's supported by the fact that supermarket chain Aldi recently released its own version of this colorful drink. Orange wine is begun showing up on drink menus at some of the country's trendiest restaurants. I've never seen it yet.
Neither. Is it sweeter? Does it say? Or doesn't say?
Don't you think, though, that for it to have any staying power... Like, when you're drinking it, it messes with your head that it's not the color of traditional wine. You know how you look at something and you go, I've had wine, I know what this will taste like. I think the orange would screw that up.
Well, but
you know
isn't that kind of how we were at first when rosés got big?
A little bit.
I mean, you can't get used to
it.
If you like it, what do you care what color it is?
The orange would be too jarring for me. I would need, the full package of
it.
Everything.
Perfect Halloween drink.
I guess for Halloween it would be nice.
It's kind of golden. It's not really orange. It's more like white wine is yellowish.
Right.
This is like a deeper yellowish.
Okay.
I'm just saying orange. But you've never had an orange drink?
Oh, yeah, but it almost always tastes like orange.
Weird.
No, but if I'm having an orange drink, I want it to taste like orange.
I have a Manhattan that's kind of orange-ish, and it doesn't taste like orange.
But don't they put orange slices in that Manhattan?
That's in an old-fashioned.
Oh, okay.
It's a reddish orange, right?
Yeah.
In Manhattan, yeah.
You're an interesting...
It would throw me off.
No.
I want the flavor and the color to match up.
All right, so when you drink wine, we'll blindfold you, like Bird Box, and then
all right, yeah.
Then you won't know you're drinking orange wine, and it'll
be
good.
What if I brought some in? Would you try it?
Yeah, I would. You didn't make it at the house, did you? if you made it,
she'll uncork it in front of you,
if your
or
dog
twist the bottle
on
cap.
The grapes, then I'm out. But if you purchased it somewhere at Aldi, then I'm in.
Lucy and Viv and I are.
You guys made it?
Yes.
All right, then maybe I'll try a little bit. Just a small bit.
Carol Burnett got awarded. We're done with the food trends, by the way.
And I cried.
But-
when she got that award.
For the Wasn't Golden that a great
Globes,
moment?
It was unbelievable.
So nice.
And, I mean, Carol Burnett did so much for the world of women, but Lucy did too. Lucille Ball.
Oh, no question.
But who else?
From the world of
like entertainment. I mean, I guess we could go television was, you know, not big screen. It was television. But those are
TV,
the first two and really the really.
I would say the trendsetters, Mary Tyler Moore would be number three for me. It would be Lucille Ball,
I guess.
Carol Burnett.
Way after. I'm talking really pioneers.
Well, the early days of television were the late 40s into the 50s. So Lucille Ball was, that was it.
She was so funny. And I will never, there are two things I will never forget about Jenny McCarthy.
What?
One is that, do you remember she compared herself as the new Lucy?
Oh, yeah, she did say that. And that's kind of a stretch.
And the anti-vaccination thing, which she's going against because her doctor did totally lie.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget her saying, you know, I'm the new Lucille Ball. That is
somebody else needs to say that about you, not you.
Right.
You know what I'm
Lucille
saying?
But Lucille Ball was so funny and in mannerisms. And then when they rolled all the best moments of Carol Burnett's time, it was the same thing. Carol Burnett is a very attractive woman, but she looked so goofy and wasn't afraid to look goofy in certain things.
Right.
And just was just so funny and could do goofy things. I like a goofy broad.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could tell by the atmosphere in the room that I said this yesterday. It was Hollywood's elite, and then they saw Carol Burnett, and the same of Dick Van Dyke, and they just melted because they realized there's us, and then there's them.
Well, I have to tell you, I saw Carol Burnett a couple of years ago when she was here
at
Chicago
Theater. Yeah,
she was fantastic. But the thing that impressed me the most about her was she was so humble and so gracious and just a lovely lady. You know, you could just tell she was a wonderful person. And that just endeared you more to her.
Right.
They'll say that about you someday, Bill, that he was a wonderful person.
That's what I want. That's my goal in all this.
Good luck with that.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday because we talked about the Golden Globes quite a bit. And those two moments, like I said, when Carol Burnett was on stage talking about her career and when Dick Van Dyke came up and got the... But there was a moment there where Jeff Bridges was kind of going on and on. Jeff Bridges is a magnificent actor and a great human being, but he's so into the fact that... Wow, we're on the planet, man, and we're walking around and we can see each other and say hello. I mean, that kind of thing. So they showed that retrospect of his work. Here's a clip from this movie and this movie.
Yes.
And usually when they do that, like when Dustin Hoffman goes up there, you go, well, yeah, I remember Dustin Hoffman was in that. He was great in that. And that was a great movie. And that was a great movie. You expect that with a lot of actors. But with Jeff Bridges, you forget that he's been, I mean, yes, he's been in 80 movies, but you forget that 30 of them are great.
Yeah. He's had a remarkable 100%. Career. Right.
But you think of him as a goofball kind of.
For the most part, yeah. And it's
a
funny,
pretty boy, not necessarily a great actor.
For a lot of his career, he was... I guess you'd put him in that bracket.
He was sexy.
Yeah.
Because he's Hollywood elite.
But Bo Bridges was never.
No.
You know, he was, to me, I always thought Bo Bridges was the actor.
Yeah.
Jeff is just like the cute one who they've given some roles to. But he's a good actor.
I always look at Bo, too, as kind of like the cute little teddy bear kind of a guy.
Right.
Because they're all a little, you know.
But you know what I mean, right? Where there's a guy who's. Career kind of sneaks up on you. You don't really think.
Right.
Like if somebody said, has Jeff Bridges been in 20 great movies? You go, no, I don't think so. Until they're laid side by side. And then you go, oh, yeah, he has been. And The Big Lebowski, which is the one that most people always go, that's like the one. In all honesty, that's a good movie. I don't consider it to be a great movie. And he's good in it, but he's not. Again, people always go, that's his movie. That's the one.
That's a cult movie, though.
That's more of a cult movie.
Than it is good, quite honestly.
Right.
I mean, I liked it. It's funny. But it became larger than life.
Oh, huge. It surprised everybody.
Yeah.
But if you really want to see him acting, see The Fabulous Baker Boys, see Starman.
Starman, really?
He's so good in Starman. It's so funny because... Starman is a very easy premise. Have you seen Starman?
No, I have not seen Starman.
I don't want to give too much away.
A guy comes from outer space and he's...
Hangs out with Karen Allen.
All right, that's all you need to know. They fall in love, I'm sure.
But in the wrong hands, that role would have been laughable, but he's so bird-like and believable.
Really?
Yeah, he's great in it. He's
I gotta
so good.
See that.
He was nominated for an Academy Award for Starman, which, again...
When did that come out?
Kind of a spoofy, goofy movie, too.
80s.
That was nominated for an Academy Award?
Yeah, he was nominated for Best Actor. And do you know who wrote and directed it? It's a strange pairing.
No.
John Carpenter, who did Halloween. That's his movie.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, it's strange, right? You wouldn't put that together. But the other question I had about the Golden Globes, and nobody...
1984 came out, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
This is something that nobody has talked about at all, but... the director of this movie, what's the movie about the African-American musician?
The Green Book.
All right.
Isn't it one of the
Farrelly brothers. It's Peter Farrelly, which is very unlike the Farrelly brothers' work. But why did he break off from his brother? Like, he and his brother, Bob, I think is the older one's name. But yeah, Bobby Farrelly. It's Bobby and Peter. So, and there's no Greg. You would think if you're going to name your kids after the Brady Bunch, go all out. Go name all three.
Was that Dumb and Dumber? Those are the Farrellys?
Those are the Farrelly brothers.
So Goofy.
Shallow Hal is Farrelly brothers. There's Something About Mary is Farrelly brothers.
That was a great movie.
Not just Dumb and Dumber, but the sequel from just a couple years ago where they brought him back. Dumb and Dumber 2. So those guys had kind of a niche in Hollywood. They split up, and he does this very serious movie. I don't know why his brother was not involved in this.
Hmm.
If this was
they
a conscious...
just went their separate ways.
Yeah.
Have the Coen brothers ever gone it alone?
I don't think so. And the Wachowski brothers just became the Wachowskis.
Right.
Because they're
what
no,
movie
they're
was
no
that?
Longer brothers. The Keanu Reeves trilogy.
I can't think of it.
I can't either.
Matrix,
thank you. Wow.
It was coming.
I couldn't think of it.
They just decided to go separate ways.
If you're Bobby, do you go, wow, that was the wrong movie for me to not be in on? I should have taken a pass on Dumb and Dumber 2. I should have jumped in on this one.
The last thing I have from them is from 2015, are the Farrelly brothers breaking up, but it just said they wanted to do things separately.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's okay.
But wouldn't you regret, if you were the older brother, if you were Bobby and you go, oh boy, I jumped off on the wrong one, because this one's getting all kinds of great attention and it's very serious and, you know, a more well-accepted.
Donnie and Marie did their own thing. They came back together.
That's the perfect example,
that
Cam.
That is perfect.
No, you're right. If Donnie and Marie can do it, the Farrelly brothers can certainly do it, too. All right, let's take a break. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Thanks, Kim.
We'll be back, and we'll all have sourdough when we return.
It's Bill
and Wendy on WGN.
Get this started.
Wendy, texters have sent in. I asked the question why Bobby Farrelly of the Farrelly brothers, the directing team, was not involved in the latest movie that Peter Farrelly was. And a couple texters said that his son died. I just looked it up. His young son, 20 years old, did die. Cause of death, mostly, it says, a drug overdose, but there are other sources saying it might have been something else, but it looks like...
I'm getting information that it was a car accident.
Yeah,
so.
The texters were all saying car accident. E! Online and a couple of others are saying drug overdose. I don't know. But... the gist of it is that maybe he needed some time off after losing his son, and that's why he wasn't involved in this latest project.
And that was in 2012.
Yeah, a while ago. Quite a while ago. All right, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow, already the middle of the week. Boy, things go by fast.
I finally saw that Geico Hump Day commercial with the camels.
Camel.
We should try and get a camel in here on Wednesday's Prince Spaghetti Day.
All right, and just walk through the studio.
Yeah.
Start things off. All right, I'm in. That's it for everybody. For us, everybody. Tune in tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.